I'm so goddamn pissed off.
The only thing that's going to get me through the night is thinking about Taco Bell's breakfast. That's the only thing that's going to get me through the depths of my sorrow.
Because it doesn't have any goddamn mayonnaise in it.
Not a bit of fucking mayonnaise in it.
Enjoy it.
It only has that weird orange cream. I don't know what it is. No one does.
I can't enjoy it sliding down my gullet because Bill Snyder catches me seeing this. He's going to think it was his idea, and I've lost that man enough, ungrateful little wizard.
Bill Snyder just writing sweet notes to him about losing to South Carolina and getting covered in mayo in purple ink. He's like, "Dear Mac, I'm awake at 1 in the morning, game planning for nothing."
And you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing when I'm awake at 1 in the morning? Eating
at Taco Bell.
That's what kept Bill Snyder alive. It was the only meal he ate all day long.
I write this from my booth at Fourth Meal. It is a humble abode, and in it I am a king.
The man who took on the hardest job in Division I. How did he turn it around? Bong.
Taco Bell. The only meal he ate all day long, Bill Snyder would crush some Taco Bell on the way home.
Eating 4 meals of Taco Bell while playing with my son for 30 minutes before going back to work.
Bill Snyder.
If Carolina wins this game and he gets a mayonnaise bath, I'm going to go to AFCA just to carry mayonnaise packets in my pocket to see how many of them I can sneak onto his person. Like in a movie where they have to hand off a cell phone, just drop mayonnaise in his pockets. Like, open, tear the top open and just drop the packet into his pocket.
And he's just like, he's fucking Donald Duck mad the whole time.
He won't see me because I'm a woman.
Can you just think about the number of stone butt wads coming through the drive-in at the Manhattan, Kansas Taco Bell? Just stone butt wad after stone butt wad. And then, all of a sudden, like a vision from another universe, Bill Snyder in a crisp windbreaker rolls down the window and is like, 3 Cholitos, please.
The most important man in the like metropolitan vicinity is also there.
And the guy behind him is visibly hotboxing in a Suzu Highmark.
The guy in front of him hotboxing and says, "I got coaches. Pay it forward.
Pay it forward."
What do you mean? He's the richest man in the state. Nah, I got coaches.
No, I got him, man. That's good. It's only $6. It's the most money Bill Snyder will spend all day. I'm going to die.
And he needs that money for stamps.
Shutdown full cast. It's okay, buddy. It's okay. You're hearing the dulcet tones of Juan Spencer Hall joined in chorus by a dog. This dog's named Calvin.
Is that
my mom's
first
dog.
Time that's happened that a real dog has joined in?
I believe that is the first time we've had a dog join in on the howl. Probably won't be the last.
Betty has somehow never tripped over the howling for some reason. Oh. She's howling right now for no reason. But
yeah, I think Betty is always howling of her own accord. Mm-hmm. That is the first time the welcome has struck the instinct.
Thank you, Kevin.
I didn't think a bulldog would howl, right? Because I thought they'd been stripped of all actual dog skills.
How do you think
all actual dog instincts?
It's like, holy shit, I didn't know that thing could make that noise.
I didn't know it thought it was a dog, frankly. That's the most bulldogs I think are like, I'm a man. I am a 58-year-old man, and I've worked hard to get here.
I'm learning things about myself that were taken from me 100,000 years ago. Slowly, slowly over time. The mysteries of the wolves are speaking to me. They're Spencer Hall.
He's like Jason Bourne, right? He's like, I didn't know I could do that, but suddenly I can skateboard. That's every bulldog is Jason Bourne, except the skills are skateboarding and eating things.
Suddenly I'm a basketball mascot.
Yeah. I can wear a sweater. I can pant. I'm gifted with the art of panting.
Wait, wait, no, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Like now that that dog has learned to howl, it's like, I will not wear sunglasses for you. I will not ride a skateboard for you. I'm a dog. In fact, I'm a wolf.
My culture is not your costume. As a bulldog.
Your costume is not my culture. Not culture. I will not wear little sunglasses for you. I will howl and forage, except I'm helpless because I'm a bulldog, so please give me food. I cannot run more than 5 feet. Don't laugh at me.
This is every dude who buys like some kind of prepper magazine at Publix and they're like, I'm gonna do this shit, and they're like, oh no, I don't know how to use a shovel. I'm too winded to execute this prepper strategy.
Yeah, composting, that's years and years of work. I thought I could just buy a compost.
You want me to put poop in a pile? That goes in the potty. Heavens no.
Mommy will scold me.
The homeowners association will frown on my bunker.
I was told never to poop in the backyard. So,
if I could describe the look that Holly Anderson is giving us right now, it's pretty amazing. We are.
Booyow.
Yeah, booyow, bukanan.
Did I say that right?
You know what? It was close enough. Joined, as always, by Holly Anderson and Jason Kirk on this here podcast.
For the moment,
To discuss, we are in part two of 40 for 40. Our bowl previews, which we have decided, in order to tackle all of them, we are putting ourselves on a six-minute limit. A six-minute limit to discuss.
A play clock, if you will.
If you will. We have 15 bowls on the docket today. Of those 15, probably going to discuss 14 because there's one of them that we're just like, I don't know why you talk about that one. It's only the kind of insight that you get from the shutdown full cast. Jason, are we on the clock, baby?
We are on the clock right now with the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. Memphis versus Easy Post. Nope, it's Memphis versus Hawaii.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do y'all recall saying when any of the bowls in the last episode were going to happen?
Like dates and stuff?
Yeah.
No.
Cool, me neither. Let's keep that rolling.
I was gonna say.
I was like, that can't be right, but no, I don't think we said a single date.
So we will imply we meant that by just keeping it consistent.
Yeah, let's cut the server. Cut this out. Yeah, cut this part out.
Okay. I can do.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Please continue.
I can do those for select bowls when the topic.
No, you can't. No, that's worse than not saying anything.
Spencer, are you saying like if it's called the Christmas Bowl and it's on Christmas?
Yes, the Christmas. Which, damn, if there isn't an actual Christmas Bowl this year, I think that's the one. But I wanted to mention the actual date and time for, because it's not even called the Christmas Bowl. You think you could hit that layup?
Okay.
Saturday, December 25th, the Camellia Bowl. But I know.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's disgusting, the things we are asking the student athletes to do. So as for the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl, Memphis versus Hawaii, it's a football game. Is this one on Christmas Eve? Since we're
making, yeah,
it is. Spoiled. This one's on Christmas Eve.
It traditionally is on Christmas Eve. For all other questions, I refer you to the FAQ, which can be found at Hawaii Bowl, thehawaiibowl.com/FAQS. Do you know what teams will be in the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl? Answer: the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl teams have not been announced yet. team selections will be announced on Selection Sunday, December 5th, 2021.
Okay.
Buy a parking pass to the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. Location, pricing, and eligibility information for parking will be provided at a later date. Will satellite parking be available on game day? The need for satellite parking will be determined closer to December and posted on our parking information page. What if I need accessible seating and or parking? Accessible seating and parking policies will follow the policies established for the Clarence T.C. Ching Athletics Complex and posted when established. Last question. Does my infant need a ticket? Policies for children under 3 will follow the policies established for the Clarence T.C. Ching Athletics Complex and posted when established.
This is some 1984 Ministry of Information bowl game.
Have we found the first false flag bowl game?
We have found it.
It's a frequently asked questions.
You're just going to Hawaii.
It's not called a frequently answered questions page.
If I were to lean one way in this bowl game, by the way.
Sorry. I have three. There's three more questions down at the bottom. They're very short. Question one. Can I attend Easy Post Hawaii Bowl Week events? Bowl Week events are still being determined. May I buy passes for the VIP tailgate party? Availability of VIP tailgate party admissions have not been determined at this time. And is there a tailgate for my respective school? Currently, we are not aware of any school-specific information. Now, some people in the past have accused us of not taking these games seriously.
This is the fall through bowl. Y'all fall through. It'll be fine.
This is like, it's like,
Hawaii
it's like
bowl. Bring ice.
Everyone's like bringing chips.
It's like the epitome of island chill on this FAQ page. I don't know, bro. See, I mean, there'll be teams there. I mean, okay. You know.
Well, will there be? Because Hawaii.
That's a great question. Which hotels are the teams staying? Hotel accommodations for both teams will be decided when the teams are announced, says the Hawaii board.
When they get there.
I love the levels of thing that has to happen until other things can happen. Like this entire mousetrap board game of steps that have to be followed. And like, what happens if we do not, like, there must be some form that was never handed to some person that they have never signed off on. You know, like, after the last election, we realized, like, oh, there's a billion steps you have to follow, and all of them are perilous. That's how the Hawaii Bowl is. Like, apparently there's one lady who has to stamp a form, and then we have teams and all these other things can fall into place.
Yeah, that lady is out of the office till 2022, evidently.
That lady's surfing.
I really hope that's what happened.
Janice is gone. Whole bowl's gone to hell.
Janice has worked hard this year, and she needs this, okay?
You know who else needs this? Maybe not Hawaii, because it means that Todd Graham would get to coach players, and they've lost something like 14 or 15 players, including their starting quarterback and their leading receiver, who both transferred before they even found out they had a bowl game. So, you know, if you were leaning one way or another on this, it might be to Memphis, because they actually know. I'm sorry, it wasn't a receiver. It was rusher Day-Day Hunter, who hit the portal before they even knew where they were going for bowl season. Just out. Just done.
Did you guys hear the quotes, or did you listen to the quotes from players that were given to reporters on the record as they were read on Split Zone Duo?
Yeah. Where they were saying things like, they've made me want to quit playing football.
Todd, it was stuff like, Todd Graham has cost us our passion and love for football. I'm not trying to hype this up for dramatic effect. I've never heard players say shit like this on the record, which doesn't really surprise me, because college football's not set up for you to hear players say these things, but holy shit.
Yeah. We are moving along to Christmas Day, where, I don't know, there's no Todd Graham. Mm. There's no Todd Graham on Christmas. That part's good.
That's good.
The TaxAct Camellia Bowl, Georgia State versus Ball State. 5.5 minutes remain in our preview.
That's the good news. The bad news is Christmas in Montgomery.
Yeah. Ugh. That's.
Oh, let's return to. I have an idea. I have an idea for a fun game that we can play. Let's return to Ryan's. Where are my manners? Speaking of Ryan, folks, we are without Ryan today. And it's for a very special reason.
The arrival.
Do you want to pick up this ball that I'm holding right here?
I got it. I'm going to dunk it. That's right. We have a full child has entered this particular podcast. That's right. They have welcomed another member of the Nanny family into fold.
Ryan is the first one, becomes the first full cast host to attempt the variety pack. of parenthood. They have added a son to their already existing daughter. Guys, I got something on my heart.
Speak it.
You guys know that I've known Ryan for, we've all known Ryan for many, many years. He is married to a college BFF of mine. And when she was pregnant with their first child, I said something really terrible to Ryan.
Oh, boy.
And I took his hand and I looked him in the eyes very seriously and I said, have you thought about what your contingency plans are going to be if this baby looks like you? Now, the child in question turns out to be like absolutely angelic and cherubic, because if you know Ryan, you know that he has this face of eternal youth. And that turns out to be a pretty cool thing on a baby that looks extra angelic. She's adorable. I have seen a photo of this new baby, and it carries another aspect of Ryan that I have never seen on an infant child. Y'all, this baby is yoked. This baby has, like, visible chest muscles. It came out burly. This is the most muscular infant I have ever seen.
Yeah, he may be an infant, but he's already a creatine, because he's jacked.
Like, Ryan's wife, my dear friend, has birthed a gym rat.
Already trying to pop his head up, so already trying to do crunches.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a real coach's kid, you can tell already.
They're not favored in this game, by the way, but Ball State does have a guy named Carson Steele, which is excellent, and is a running back with long-ass Viking hair. It's beautiful. So that's really all I have to say about that. Additionally, they're going to be playing in one of the South's most haunted-ass cities.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah, Montgomery on Christmas Day. Everyone dreams of it. It's just not everyone is willing to admit it.
At 2:30, the most haunted time. Do you guys remember a couple years ago during the Camellia Bowl preview when we attempted to name the price of a package that was offered with the local Doubletree, and it was like $64 or something?
It was simultaneously cheaper than I expected and more than I would pay.
I would like you to guess the asking price for an ESPN Zone suite, which is a private suite with televisions located inside the multiplex at the Crampton Bowl. See if you can guess the price of this. Spencer, go ahead.
I'm gonna go $115.
Jason.
Oh. $7.
Both of you are low. Would you like to try again?
I'll double. $230.
Still low, Jason.
$1,000.
Jason is very close, but still low.
What?
What?
Yeah. $7,500 will get you an ESPN Zone suite. Now, I'm not a mathematician.
Huh.
But if I recall from when some of these ESPN bowls were up on the block, that is about 1/9 of the price to license an entire bowl.
I mean, surely. If you just... Yeah, like you're so close to actually just sponsoring the whole bowl.
Complimentary premium food is included.
Yeah.
You know how much I love that premium food.
Oh, wow. Complimentary premium food, but 2 drink tickets.
2... Because they saw your ass coming. I bought this suite.
You thought she was somebody.
2 drinks.
Please tell me that's 6 minutes. Are we close?
We're so close.
Mm.
We don't have to hit the full 6. But
the souvenir cups look nice.
They
got camellias on them.
You know what else looks nice is the Quick Lane Bowl, starring
God.
Western Michigan and Nevada, which has lost, I believe, 70% of its coaching staff, its quarterback. I forget what else, but the opening line on this game was Wolfpack by 7. The current line on this game is Western Michigan by 7.
So
we have one of the most interesting experiments in all the bowl season, in which we find how important is everything but the quarterback and the coaching staff. Because if Nevada was complete, they'd be a pretty good bet to win this game. But now nobody knows what's going to happen. It's in WMU territory. It's in Detroit.
In addition to losing much of the coaching staff, a dozen players have gone as well. So, like, if you want to do something, if you just want to get into a new gig with Nevada football, give it a shot. You know, if you want to call plays,
list us as a reference.
Yeah, do it. You know, if you want to, if you're like, hey, I've always dreamed of playing quarterback, maybe you get a shot to do that in the third quarter. It could happen.
In general, the Quick Lane Bowl, like, I feel like there's not much more to say about the Quick Lane Bowl, but like,
well, it used to be,
do we have
Little
anything
Caesars
more on
Bowl.
These?
Yeah, it used to be the Little Caesars Bowl, which contains one of our favorite pieces of lore that, despite being named the Little Caesars Bowl, due to stadium vendor agreements at Ford Field in Detroit, they were only allowed to serve Hungry Howie's pizza during the Little Caesars Bowl. Go Gators.
Defensive end Sam Hammond is very excited for activities. The quote I am reading to you is this: I heard we got Topgolf and some other things going on. This conjures up the thing that I have always wanted to happen at a bowl game and didn't know it until it popped in my brain, which is this: linemen falling into a Topgolf net. Mm. Linemen falling into a Topgolf safety net. Let's make it happen, y'all.
My other favorite thing about this bowl is that last year, along with a whole bunch of other bowls, this was canceled, but the bowl organizers did not cite COVID as a reason. They just declined to give a reason, and I respect that.
The secretly canceled Quick Lane Bowl.
Like, we're going to the Hawaii Bowl instead. They've got ice and chips.
Yeah, we're going to the Hawaii Bowl. They'll explain why. No, they won't.
We would rather not.
The relatable.
Bartle Bowl.
The Bartle Bowl. Would you like to know about accommodations? We would rather not. We've already had the Bartle Bowl. It was the Hawaii Bowl.
The Hawaii Bowl, that's like the Sovereign Citizen Bowl. Like, I don't have to tell you shit.
That information will be...
Can I see a warrant?
This bowl what is a noted scrivening threat.
What teams will be in this bowl? I would rather not tell you.
I'm from Memphis. I know my rights.
Actually, low-key, one of the sketchiest matchups, right? Memphis and Hawaii, if you're like, wow, the possibility for interstate shenanigans on a legal level is real high.
Yeah, I mean, but Memphis, we got international shipping connects, right? Hawaii's like, hey, we're halfway there, you know? So, like, yeah, just be cool. Don't even put our team names on the website. It's cool.
I know Western Michigan's happy to be in this bowl game, but how excited does somebody from Michigan get when you're like, where are we going, boys? Detroit. Going an hour that way. Yeah.
Exactly how many miles is that?
And Detroit has worse beer than Kalamazoo. This can't be good for anybody.
That is 140 miles.
That's it. Yes.
That's just long enough of a drive to be annoying.
Yeah, the student athlete experience.
It ain't the best, man. It ain't the best.
Passing Ann Arbor on the right.
I'm not saying that you wouldn't be excited to go to Detroit. I'm just saying Western Michigan would be excited to go to Detroit. Okay, exactly. You can have a great time in Detroit. I just don't know if Western Michigan can.
Yeah, this is not Detroit slander. Detroit is fine. Detroit is
cool.
No,
we have a delightful time in Detroit.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if those boys from Nevada will have a great time either, because they're like, well, we're used to Las Vegas, so let's go to Detroit.
Also, it's 20 degrees.
Also, it's Nevada in the winter is like that beautiful powdery snow that you can wear a t-shirt in, and Michigan's got that wet snow.
Yeah, it's got that wet snow that like you find like dead animals in. Yeah.
Let's see. there's another bowl up next. The Military Bowl, Boston College versus East Carolina. Which that makes
me. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Holly. What's up? Let's talk about homefieldapparel.com. The website I go to when I need clothes that have sports logos on them, college sports logos, vintage sports logos that are very cool from the vaults that I cannot find anywhere else, that is where I go, such as when I need these clothes for myself or loved ones for a holiday. That is, you know, basically over by the time you, the listener at home, hear this. But there are other holidays as well. Ever think about that?
Speaking of the Military Bowl, there are shirts and sweatshirts, clothing mostly for the upper body, available for both Army and Navy, two teams that have military connections that are not appearing in this game.
I think that's a good point you raised, that Army and Navy have military connections.
Yeah, also, if you are passionate about the military but still want to wear overalls with custom paint jobs on them, there's Texas A&M gear available.
Yeah.
Can I just give a completely unrelated shout out to Homefield Apparel's new Cincinnati shirt that they have released in celebration of the playoffs? Have you guys seen this?
Absolutely sick.
The Fight Cincinnati shirt with the scrambling bear cat that looks like nothing so much as like a wear guinea pig.
Yeah. It looks fantastic.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's this thing looks hungry. Or fevered,
or like it's late.
Late,
possibly. Or,
like it's either hungry for a big bucket of Skyline chili, or is really looking forward to getting rid of it from one end of its body or the other.
This bear cat looks like it's running late for an orgy. The desperation in this thing's face. And that's what the college football playoff basically is, folks.
My favorite part of this shirt is that they thoughtfully placed a comma after the fight and before the Cincinnati, so that you are aware that by wearing the shirt, you are exhorting Cincinnati to fight and not encouraging the onlooker to fight Cincinnati.
And not yourself challenging Cincinnati to a fight, because that won't get you far.
Fight, question mark? No.
Can Cincinnati come out and fight?
Not in this house. Not in this home. Field. Apparel. Offer code FULLCAST. FULLCAST? Is it FULLCAST?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Spencer. I wasn't asking you. Thank you, Jason. Offer code FULLCAST at checkout will get you 20% off your first order. If this is somehow still your first order, welcome to the show. If you're a longtime listener and this is your first order, we forgive you because we are Christ-like like that. You know what else is Christ-like? Oak trees.
Yes.
They grow from small, unnoticeable seeds into great and mighty shelterers of many people. And if only I could remember what those seeds were called, I would have a pretty sick-ass segue into our next segment.
Acorns! Acorns! They're called acorns, as in acorns.com. That's right.
So you're right about something. That's weird.
Your one-stop shop for individual investing.
For retirement.
For retirement, investing, banking.
Compatible device required, by which I mean you.
And a telephone. So you direct your telephone to acorns.com/fullcast, and then you put in your information, and you have $5 that you can begin retiring with. This will take a little bit of time, and more dollars will be required. They will not be given to you, but the first five will be. And by the time you have completed your retirement, those initial $5 will have joined your other dollars and created many more because of the investments that have happened. Thanks to acorns.com/fullcast.
You don't really want those dollars given to you. You want to earn them. Because earning money instead of having it given to you builds character. And if you don't believe that, just look at rich people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You'll be one of them someday. Thanks to acorns.
That's right.
But you'll have you'll carry your character with you on the front end.
You can also get on the family plan. That's what I'm on. It means you can invest, start a later account for further investments and retirement. You can bank smarter. You get a big old heavy metal debit card. It's green. You throw it at somebody, it probably hurt them real bad. And you can also invest in the early account. That is correct, early for kids. It's time to give you an update on my scamming ass children. Right now, currently, we're back up to a $52 lead for my younger child, whose crypto plays must be working out very beautifully this week.
No, I think it's because the older ones discovered, like, belatedly discovered Roblox.
Or Warhammer. He might be siphoning money off to pay for Warhammer models.
Oh, that's fine. God. That's legit. Those, those increase in value.
He'll be able to teach us the game once we all get into Warhammer. How is it possible that in all this time of our beautiful and fruitful relationship with Acorns, we have never thought to stand in some kind of open space and wing these heavy metal debit cards at each other and see if they hurt?
I think this sounds like an excuse for you to throw them at me, or mostly at me. So yes. Ah! Bulldog attacking
me. Oh, that audio! There
it is!
There's
that dog audio.
Calvin.
Oh, God. That's terrible. Yeah,
Calvin, if you can hear. Calvin is hungry for investment.
Disagree.
Do you hear him snorting? That sounds like a car.
Oh, yeah, we hear all of it. All came through great.
He licks his chops, and it sounds like somebody's stacking, like, lunch meat on a counter. God.
Reader, for those of you who can't see us, which is most of you, Spencer is lying down, and he's lying so close to the ground that a bulldog, a very small bulldog, is able to climb all over his capacious head.
Laying down in a way that was described by Cerber as a lady laying across a piano.
Mm. Hello, boys. Lying down in the way that somebody who's retired and loving it would be. And that's one thing you can be if you start investing and saving with the Acorns app today.
There we go.
Oh, God, he's licking me.
It's really going
He's licking you because he knows you're wealthy and he wants to get in good.
Ah, that's my forehead. Oh, God.
No,
that tastes like money.
Dog's just trying to retire, that's all.
Dog's like, you smell wealthy. Teach me your secrets.
Man, like I said. Rich.
What if you just sat up?
There's nowhere to sit up here.
Are you in a submarine?
I'm on the nuclear submarine Red October right now, and I intend to defect.
Is the bulldog defecting as well?
No, because the bulldog has no actual skills. Defecting involves.
They don't want him?
No, they don't. No, they do. They do, but not for any reason.
They're going to say.
Is your sonar or is that dolphins?
That's what their big eyes are for, somehow.
And any practical emergency would be like, save the bulldog, it's important. And if somebody asked why, you'd have no answer. You'd be like, what purpose does this thing serve?
It would have to be like, the codes are tattooed on his belly.
I might need an ottoman.
What can he do for the team? Answer, not a fucking thing. Not a goddamn thing.
It's what about, like, moral support? Is he the Hawkeye of the Avengers here? Is he the the one they talk to when they're like, oh, I'm so tired of having powers. I need to talk to someone useless so I can get better perspective. So
yes.
Also, like Jeremy Renner, very gassy. Very gassy.
No, they actually it actually
weird eyeballs.
Because they are widely acknowledged to be just the worst, and so are all the people who love them. Except for your mom, whose dog this is, who doesn't listen to the show. Sorry.
Which brings us to the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl.
Ah, good. Excellent. Moving on.
Between Houston and Auburn.
Continuing our tour of apartheid America, we move on to Birmingham.
Birmingham.
The Johannesburg of America.
It really, geographically it really is, and we should do an entire episode about this sometime.
Man, this is not where Auburn expected to finish the season. Or maybe you did. Maybe you were ready for this.
I think this
is
the midpoint between the two places Auburn expected to appear to finish this season.
Are you calling this the Gooch Bowl?
I am now.
Auburn's Gooch Bowl.
It do, it like, is. It does have. I learned this week that a lot of people did not know about the Vulcan statue, because the Birmingham Bowl statue was announced, and it is a small Vulcan, right? And if you've seen Vulcan,
is it the bobble butt? Does it have the bobble butt?
No, but those cheeks are out there. Like, they are just out there as hell, right?
Yeah.
And it's very clear that Vulcan is at the forge, but he is only wearing that apron, and his butt, his perfectly sculpted ass is just hanging out in the wind.
Sculpted by Vulcan. Yeah.
You know who I bet appreciates a good pair of haunches is Dana Holgorsen, who coaches one of these teams.
Dana's like, that looks like me. That's exactly what I look like.
I didn't say that.
Dana did.
Dana did be like, yeah, you know, give me three months and, you know, no carbs. I'll look like that. I'm not going to do it, but I could.
You know, it's been a rough year, but I think that Birmingham is going to really love Brian Harsin because he's white.
Oh, God. Yeah. Is anybody missing in this bowl? Yeah. One of Houston's best defenders just opted out because he's going to pursue his NFL draft ambitions, Marcus Jones.
Can we scroll real quick through the... take a spin really quick through the rest of the games we're talking about today. Is there a bigger drop in quality of life between school and bowl destination than there is in going from Houston to Birmingham?
Houston to Birmingham.
Raleigh to San Diego. I'm kidding.
Yikes. Okay, never mind. I take it back. Oregon going to the Alamo Bowl is up there. Never mind. That's pretty good.
I will say, going from Reno to Detroit is weird. I don't know if it's bad, but it's definitely weird.
Mm.
Especially because your baseline being from Reno is weird.
I mean, Georgia State.
Actually, that's a huge drop off.
We got Atlanta to Montgomery for Georgia State.
Ooh, never mind. That's worse.
That's a pretty...
Atlanta, the city too busy to hate. Montgomery, we have time for that.
I got one for you, bro. Columbus to Pasadena. Yeah. An Ohio State fan would say that with a straight face. Yeah, man. Who wants to live in Pasadena? They got sunshine and shit.
We're doing the Rose Bowl today. Did you just spoil it?
Can you spoil the Rose Bowl?
I think you can.
Listen,
I think
according
you can.
To the Hawaii Bowl, we don't have teams yet.
Yeah. Well, the only bowl that can be spoiled is the Hawaii Bowl, because we can't be certain anything is happening.
Does this mean we broke the news of the Hawaii Bowl? Like, people have to listen to this podcast, and they will now update it, because there we go.
Let's find
go,
out. Folks. Shout out to that one person who found out that Bob Stoops was retiring, like, 5 months later because they listened to this show.
Dude, spoiler alert.
What about that person who tunes in to Oregon, Oklahoma, and wonders whether we were lying all along about Bob Stoops being gone?
I would wonder about our sources.
This is my goal, is to just become the QAnon of coaching news. Right, just start announcing Nevada under new coach Houston Nutt. That's secretly Houston Nutt.
Yeah.
Why are all the Ohio State coaches' wives following Spencer on Twitter
for medical advice?
Because I tell the truth.
Visitor's guide to the Birmingham Bowl.
Where? What to do in Birmingham? Go look at Vulcan's cheeks. They just moon Homewood 24 hours a day.
I don't feel strongly enough about this to yell about it, but I'm really mad that when you click over to the visitors page, the first thing you see is an ad for Dreamland. Birmingham has many fine restaurants. Dreamland is fine, but you should go to a good restaurant. Of course, never mind. The second restaurant is Buffalo Wild Wings, so I guess we're going for a theme.
You should also remember that Auburn will be without Bo Nix, because we are now living in a post-Bo Nix world for Auburn. That is right. He is transferred to the University of Oregon, the school he beat in order to start his run, his improbable run to a long stint as the starter for Auburn. So the circle is complete, y'all. We are now in a new era.
I did not know that Oh, shoot. We're forgetting one very important thing. RIP Legion Field for the Birmingham Bowl. This is in... We are now in being played in UAB's home field, which I did not know was called Protective Stadium. which I just assume is a descriptor.
Yeah, that means that is the walls.
Actually, that is a sharp contrast to Legion Field. This is a smart name.
That's true.
Thank you, because that would be offensive field.
The last time I was at the Birmingham Bowl, lest we forget, I pulled out my chair, and there was like a 6-inch long rusted bolt just sitting in it, like a welcome gift.
Speaking of being welcomed, we are now welcomed into the ServPro First Responder Bowl. We're several seconds in. Air Force.
I'm sorry. Can I take out a loan of several seconds from this bowl just to read this? If you type in Birmingham Bowl 2021, you get something that says, "This website is operated by a ticket broker. We are not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Birmingham Bowl."
Yes. Huh. Yes.
Learn more. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's good. That's valuable. Like, these bowl games are such bullshit, man. I know we say it every year and it bears repeating, that is not a statement that there are too many of them or that the athletes shouldn't get to enjoy them or any of that shit. It's just a simple acknowledgement that sometimes bullshit is entertaining and this shit is all so very bullshit. First Responder Bowl, which was the first bowl game to ever be canceled after it had already begun, speaking of bullshit, we have...
You know what's really going
Falcons.
To absolve you of bullshit?
Oh, what, sorry, Surf
Jason.
Pro?
No, I was just going to say that if there's one thing I learned about celebrating everyday heroes, it's inviting Air Force and Louisville to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm, because people needed to see this.
High character programs, both of these.
Here we have Air Force, who the team in the country that is the least likely to throw a pass. Against Louisville, which pretty basic offense. They run the ball a lot, not in a big hurry. So the point total is 55.5 for reasons I do not understand. That under is looking pretty enticing. Allegedly this game will happen. That's not always the case with the First Responder Bowl. Sometimes it's the Last Responder Bowl.
Allegedly.
No. There's an FAQ on this one, and all the questions have been answered.
Are they like, will this game happen?
No, but they do. ServPro First Responder Bowl has basically said no broke folks allowed. All tickets are digital and delivered via mobile device. There's no will call window. Ooh! Cashless economy. Great way of keeping the poor folks out, SMU. You continue to thrive.
Is my flip phone a mobile device?
You know, technically anything that's a machine is a mobile device if you can pick it up.
Carrying my compact computer with plug and generator and gigantic tube monitor into the stadium to scan my ticket.
Galactus could pick it up.
Yep.
By the way, you could also watch Malik Cunningham play in this game. Actual football content. He's really fun. He's a delight. Louisville is not. I don't know if there's a lot of delight in this game, but Malik Cunningham is great.
Okay, this AT&T FirstNet fan zone promises a free fan zone area with interactive booths. And the first photo I see when I click over to this is a whole bunch of cheerleaders sitting on top of and around an enormous tank. That's interactive. Can we shoot a tank?
Like a army tank?
I feel like a tank is not so much a first response and more of a zeroth response. Like the use of a tank... The use of a tank necessitates first responders. It does not celebrate them. Although maybe we celebrate the tank as being a job creator for the first responders.
A tank is sort of a 23rd response, right? Like first response, diplomatic entreaties, talks, 23rd
what?
Response, tanks.
Sir, this is Texas.
Tank. We deliver pizzas with these things down here. 5 miles to the gallon. Sure, if it's a hybrid.
Tank full of cheerleaders pizza. That's .com. The tank full of cheerleaders bowl.
No, no, no. It's a pizza bowl, so you have to, it has to be the website of the pizza. It has to be
tankfullcheerleaders.com bowl.
Yep.
With Air Force versus Louisville.
Oh, much better. God, I miss Ryan. Ryan would know just what to do about this.
I'm going to go ahead, by the way. Can we skip to
Liberty?
Can we? Yes, I am. We're going to. I want to go ahead and advance.
All right. I'm going to reset the timer, and then I got to go get my plug for my computer. So I'll be right back.
You do that.
AutoZone Liberty Bowl, in which Mike Leach's Mississippi State faces Texas Tech. And I guess that's all anyone will talk about that entire broadcast, most likely.
This is, oh my God, this is the ultimate power of broadcasting because it's roommates, but it's with himself. Like, there is no more powerful broadcaster catnip in the known human universe than two players that used to be roommates, but Mike Leach used to be Mike Leach.
We also get this, by the way.
Ryan would have thought that was funny.
I think it's funny, but I was going to point out that we
laugh,
get...
clown!
Ha-ha! This is the only one I know of that gives us a rodeo.
No, this is far from only the only one that gives you the rodeo.
All right, well, we'll go over the other ones. But this is the one that features, yes, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl Professional Rodeo. The only bowl-sponsored rodeo that's sponsored by
Spencer,
the thing
the
that
Texas
made horses obsolete.
Spencer, the Texas Bowl has been doing a player-participant rodeo, as far as I know, as long as it's been in existence.
But has it been sponsored by the thing that made horses obsolete?
No, but you said it's... Listen, I'm just saying it's not the first rodeo.
Bull riding, bareback bronc riding, steer wrestling, and barrel racing. All from the Agra Center Show Place Arena. Magnificent.
The Liberty Bowl?
Yeah.
Spencer's on about the Liberty Bowl having a rodeo as like it's the Texas Bowl or some shit.
Yeah, that is. I mean, they should have a car rodeo, right?
I couldn't stop him. There was only one of us here.
But, like, they should have a monster truck show or a... you have to ride the fucking...
What if you have to rope and ride, like, derelict cars that need new batteries?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And there's a little man in a clown suit running around, and they try to hit him.
That's amazing!
Actually be a thing in Memphis.
You know what you would call this? You know what you would call the car rodeo? You would say you are now stepping into the AutoZone.
Yes! The AutoZone.
Can we do the medieval times but with cars?
I'm so into this. This is like the best idea we've ever had. Before.
Like the Red Knights, they all drive, let's give them Toyotas.
Mm-hmm. This is just Mad Max Dinner Theater. That's all that is. I love it.
Trademark. That's ours. You can't have it.
Hungry Max.
Post-apocalyptic dinner theater for the Liberty Bowl.
Welcome to the Hunger Dome.
Mid-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
The most Liberty Bowl thing ever would be to have a halftime show that was nothing but monster trucks tearing up the turf, and then to have to play on it.
then the lads just trot out for the kickoff, spraining their ankles before the ball's even kicked.
Well, you see, we were up on them, but then, our guy stepped into a 2-foot-deep hole and tore his ACL. We lost a guy in a pit somewhere around the 30-yard line. I blame the players, not me.
But I guess we shouldn't have lost to Memphis earlier in the season. Then we wouldn't be stuck here playing in Memphis again.
Memphis. When even Memphis is not playing in Memphis, but a loss to Memphis, but creates another loss to Memphis. That's beautiful.
I got that baby shoe story beat by half. Tragic two-word short story. Memphis again.
This is easily, by the way, every single year one of my favorite bowls, just because everyone gets there and goes, we're doing this again. Oh, okay. Cool. I guess.
We're really going through with this, aren't we?
We signed up for it. We planned for it. And yet now that we're here, it all seems like a worse idea than when we started.
I'd like to fill time by announcing that my father has just sent me a text that I'm pretty sure was meant for my brother. explaining that he is taking my niece to her horseback riding lesson, except that what he texted is at horse. It's possible, I suppose, that he's trying to text the horse.
Hey, what's up, horse? Just making sure you'll be there later today for the lesson.
Just sitting there slamming an iPhone with his hooves.
Just let us know if horse responds. That'll be
the horse
really
has
got to
have
part.
Blackberries. They need the physical keyboard.
Siri.
Let's move ahead.
There
the
we go.
San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl.
R.I.P. The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah.
I do believe
the
this is the
bowl
with the most...
The only bowl game still named after a poisonous houseplant.
I think this is the bowl with the most words in its name, unless you count college football playoff semifinal for some of the others.
This is definitely... Ooh. The only thing I think that might give it a run for its money is the Rose Bowl game presented by Capital One Venture X.
Yeah, especially if you say the college football playoff semifinal in certain years.
Ugh.
This year's participants are UCLA, where every minute of every day we're either firing Chip Kelly or promoting him to the NFL again or something.
5:29 Eastern on Tuesday, December 21st. Do we know where Chip Kelly works?
Allegedly.
Probably Hawaii. Just since we break Hawaii news, so let's keep it rolling. Facing him will be NC State, where Dave Doran has been the head coach for 37 years, I believe. And have never known any NC State program to be coached by anyone other than Dave Doran. They go 8-4 every single year. Let me now look at what their record was this year, because I don't know.
Let me now look at who are the longest.
9-3. All right.
Let me now look at who the longest tenured football coaches are in the ACC.
I think Doran is second.
Doran is second only to Dabo. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And doing
Doran's
a good
been
job.
There longer than Dave Clawson's been there.
Every single year, doing a pretty good job. Like, by NC State standards, a remarkable job. And also a guy I never think about. I think about literally, like, once a year.
He would be an amazing intelligence asset, because you look right across him. Like, he has the most unremarkable face. You remember, not D.B. Cooper, but you remember that suspect drawing of a leprechaun?
Yeah, from Mobile, like the Mobile leprechaun.
Yeah, there's just a little loop and a hat. That is an amazing likeness of Dave Doran, at least as far as I can remember.
I would highlight from the San Diego's biggest holiday party website, the following, which is the Snapdragon Bowl Bash and Concert, which typically these concerts, you might not have heard of the people, and if you're younger, you still might not have heard of these, but the following four bands are playing concert.
Can we guess?
You wouldn't in 1,000 years, but yeah, go ahead.
Gin Blossoms.
No.
Am I close?
No.
Okay.
No.
Jason, you want to try one?
I was told I wouldn't guess in 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 5 minutes.
So,
but...
Wait, did y'all know they created a baseball stadium now? They finally moved it out of that previous hellhole?
I'm going to give you the first three, and then you can see if you can get the fourth. Okay?
Wow.
Here's your scatter plot. Flock of Seagulls.
What?
The English Beat. Missing Persons. And then the fourth one is, I will take
Pete
a guess.
Tong. Please tell me it's Pete Tong.
Serber.
No.
Serber, do you have a guess by chance?
We can bring Serber in for this. Serber, do you have a guess on the fourth?
It can't be, but let's just say New Order.
Boy, that is an awesome guess.
That would be a good pull for the like San Diego Bowl, right? Like that'd be
I was kind of just what I wanted more than anything.
You're
like, I would like to see Erasure right now. Yeah. That would be fun.
Aim high, Holiday Bowl.
Holly, that is also a very good guess, but the actual answer is Taylor Dane.
I swear to God, my next guess was going to be Danity Kane.
Taylor Dane.
Basically the same thing.
That is the concert that you will get as a warm-up for this bowl game.
God, talk about a missing person.
Dave Doran really is a missing person, even when he's in the room.
Uh-huh.
All that man does is go 9-4.
That's why I'm actually picking against NC State. They haven't picked up their fourth loss for this season.
Yeah, that's how it works. Also, they're ranked. They can't finish ranked. They every single year, they have to have a season that makes you say, that's a good year for NC State, but not finish ranked.
Yeah,
and
no,
at,
Dave.
At some point, will he have changed expectations so much that you're like, huh, only 8-4 for NC State, huh? I don't think so.
Do you think the monkey's paw starts glowing for Dave Doran when they get to the last game and he still hasn't lost his fourth? It's like, Dave, you better lose the fourth or you're going to have to cash in the curse. You're going to have to pay for your success.
Like, I don't get the sense that he is raising expectations to a point where it could hurt him, you know? Like, it's almost sort of like a Mark Stoops Kentucky thing where it's like, I mean, we win most of the time, and that's pretty cool.
Do you get the sense that he is holding the reins and letting the various and sundry Haints of NC State do his work for him?
Entirely possible.
Like, all he has to do is keep it between the ditches and the bizarro NC State crystal magic 8-ball will do the rest.
The crystal magic 8-ball, which is filled with cheer wine, like, undoubtedly. And if you drink that's how you get the curse.
That sound means it's time for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, featuring West Virginia and Minnesota.
Guaranteed. Oh, we need a buzzer in between all these, like a weird buzzer.
A Guaranteed Rate is a... Oh, you didn't hear it? It was beeping here.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it.
I'll turn it up louder. Guaranteed Rate is a mortgage company.
How in need of financing our college football fans? Like, demographically, it's like these fuckers need cash.
Pretty much. We got to pay Jimbo Fisher once a year.
That's
true.
We're
also assuming, if we're sponsors, we're assuming way too often that fans of these teams pay taxes.
West Virginia.
Very true.
I was going to ask what the Sovereign Citizen Bowl is, but I think I have my answer.
Ooh, let me read the slug from the website. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The official Guaranteed Rate Bowl page for the... That's it. That's it.
That's funny that you say that, because the first headline I got was Guaranteed Rate Bowl is all systems go.
For the most, period.
Most
honestly,
systems go.
I'm encouraged that they said that. Like, that's more than the Hawaii Bowl gave us.
Ooh, have y'all seen the logo for this?
No.
It is kind of reminiscent of that old University of Arizona logo that had like the gradient skyline, and it's got the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, but there are goalposts made of enormous cacti, and I think that should be a feature in this game. Like, along with the return to the Commodity Bowl, we have, like, you know, the Beryllium Bowl or the Tungsten Bowl or whatever it was we were clamoring after a couple weeks ago. I believe that since these are exhibitions and are good for nothing but ruining next year's preseason polls, ultimately, and paying people to swan about in weirdly colored blazers, yes, we're hating because we were born too late to get this job ourselves, I believe that all these games should be required to incorporate regional elements into the on-field play. Like, what happens if you kick the ball towards the goalpost and it just gets impaled and stays there?
That's a point.
And
actually, I was going to say the ball is live, and both teams immediately could try to scale the cactus to retrieve it.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Also, let's note this is the Junior Fiesta Bowl. The website for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl is fiestabowl.org.
It is the sad little takeout window of the Fiesta Bowl.
Let's call it the Siesta Bowl. How about that?
There we go.
By the way, the Guaranteed...
It's the Chili's to go of the Fiesta Bowl.
Jason, this bowl game follows you. They do not follow me.
Oh, yeah? Well,
wait a second.
Well.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
As
hating on me.
I'm about to take this personally.
It's a Guaranteed Rate Bowl insider. I I'll see how this helps me during my next acquire a mortgage.
Really? Really? Nothing? Y'all, let's cyberbully the guaranteed rate bowl.
Well, Jason won't. Jason's already in.
Those are my good friends.
They're following Gary Patterson. He doesn't even go here.
Yeah, me and Gary.
Y'all roommates.
Sounds like we are moving ahead to, let's see, the bowl with the single most confusing name on the entire catalog.
I'm tweeting the guaranteed rate bowl.
The Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
We made love.
Yes.
It's between SMU and Virginia. Fenway Wasabi.
It's just another mayonnaise bowl.
Yeah.
That's because Boston invented sushi.
The spiciest thing in Boston. But as I understand, it is not actually the condiment. That is, the condiment did not acquire sentience and funding and the mechanisms by which it could fill out forms with the NCAA. This is actually a technology company. They provide, oh God, this sounds like bullshit. The premier provider of hot cloud storage solutions. Cloud.
That's not a real thing. That's just
Why would you want it to be hotter?
Why would you go ahead and imply like toxic hot farts in your description?
What the fuck is a hot cloud?
Hot cloud coming through. That's what happens when someone from Boston eats wasabi. You're gonna have a hot cloud.
This is
gonna have a hot cloud.
The offices are located upstairs from the Wahlburgers.
Hot cloud.
Hot cloud.
Just get up in the walls.
Let's see. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl has announced a 60-member organization strategic recommendations to foster the game's educational mission. Yeah, the fucking Fenway Bowl has an educational mission.
I'm going to learn all kinds of new slurs.
Wasabi's hot cloud storage. Hot cloud storage. Those are called pants. Allows companies to store a nearly unlimited amount of data and access it at any time as a fraction of the cost. Why do you call it hot?
Farts are free.
It's called a Dutch oven.
They have something called the what?
I think the Fenway Dutch oven bowl would sell.
Hot cloud storage? Universal one size fits all cloud object storage environment. My God!
Can any of you people write words
significantly faster? Hot storage. Oh my God. Here you go. All right. Here we go. From straight from wasabi.com. This will make it all make sense. Okay. Hot storage is the opposite of cold storage. That's what it says.
Did this person also write the Hawaii Bowls website?
As if we are not doing enough harm to Japan by sending them Rahm Emanuel, we now have to mutate the word wasabi into this monstrosity, meaning hot cloud.
Hot cloud coming through.
There's also a product called the Wasabi Ball Transfer Appliance, and I'm like, yeah, that's a marriage license. That's what that is. Don't drive like my brother.
The man's in the stands talking about ice cold beer, hot cloud.
Hot cloud.
I'm trying to think of any possible pleasant connotation for the phrase hot cloud, and I have absolutely nothing.
I ate a bad lobster roll, and then I had a serious hot cloud. I'll tell you that.
Hot cloud. I think what it calls to mind for me is acid rain, right? Like, there's some volcanic cloud above me belching forth shit that should not be falling down. Hot cloud day.
This game is being played at 11 a.m.
I reject it. Wait, 11 Eastern?
Yeah.
Some wasabi Dunkin' Donuts at 11 a.m. belching forth hot clouds and watching SMU Virginia. You guys want to come over and eat Fenway wasabi and watch SMU Virginia?
Come on, Jeremy Renner's doing the national anthem. Let's go.
Give him a ball transfer appliance.
I said doing, not singing. I didn't say singing. I said doing.
Reciting? Performing.
This is, by the way, the battle of two teams that lost their coach, including SMU, who had their coach lose like four out of their five last games, I think, or maybe four in a row. Anyway, he got the job at TCU after that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Now they have Rhett Lashley, who looks like one of the Pony Boys, has just been called up.
Both these teams lost four of their last five games.
Solid.
So, and now they get coming to go to Boston in December.
At least the cloud's hot, because nothing else is coming in hot.
All right, mm-mm. I reject the premise of this game and substitute in its place The Town, directed by Ben Affleck, 2010 classic. That's the name.
I can go with that. Oh, you know what, though? On the calendar, on the same day, as if to pair the rivalry, even in a distinctly different sport,
the Pinstripe Bowl.
The Pinstripe Bowl's right after that. They're just making a tour of overpriced baseball stadiums. That's right. Maryland versus Virginia Tech.
I will say that the Holiday Bowl being at Petco Park is the least awful option of all of these, because Petco is a really nice stadium. I still don't want to watch a fucking football game there. Like, has the novelty of this not worn off yet for anyone? Where are we going to find a football stadium in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I don't know why this is happening.
It's
additionally,
like
Maryland versus
it.
Virginia Tech, I know that's a Big Ten ACC matchup on the cards, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm sorry, if I watched you play as recently as, like, 2010, then yeah. it's still...
I thought it was canon for this show that Maryland is in the ACC.
Yes, but I didn't want to say it. You know why? Because you'd be like, hey, dumbass. People get my mentions. They will.
Really,
and it's just
still
not worth it.
Maryland is in the ACC.
I have had maybe two people lifetime tell me that Maryland is not in the ACC. And I told both of them that they can't prove it. And neither one of them had a rejoinder.
I mean,
I will say this. I don't know if I watched Maryland this year, like for a snap, like after August, I didn't, or after September, I didn't watch Maryland.
There's no real reason to. I don't know why.
A random Wikipedia article with the prompt.
Because I know that the greatest football team in the world is September Maryland.
Oh my Christ. So I pulled up a random Wikipedia article with the prompt Maryland, and I landed on Chicken Maryland or Maryland Chicken, referring to a historic dish associated with the U.S. state of Maryland, although it is noted that it has other meanings associated with other nations. I'm going to read the ingredients now.
Please.
Chicken Maryland, fried chicken with bacon, corn, banana, chickpeas, cannelloni beans, fresh mint, wine, and cream.
That's everything.
That is everything.
Can't,
many Maryland families have their own recipes for this dish, I bet.
Hmm.
Oh, that sounds horrifying. Okay. Maryland fried chicken. The primary factor, okay, this is what I was trying to find out, and the answer is gross. The primary factor that distinguishes Maryland fried chicken from Southern fried chicken is that the chicken is pan-fried in a heavy skillet and covered tightly after the initial browning so that the chicken steams as well as fried. It is mushy fried chicken.
What? Why?
That's
mush fried.
That's Chick-fil-A.
Right. Yeah,
squishy fried chicken. That's Chick-fil-A.
That Maryland squishy chicken. Can't wait to get some of that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm about to do. Is eat some Maryland fried, some Maryland squishy chicken. Squishy.
Not coincidentally, the final lunch menu on the Titanic included a dish called Chicken Maryland.
Well, then what happened?
Then they watched the New Era Pinstripe Bowl.
The New Era Pinstripe Bowl has, by the way, tickets for sale on MLB.com. So, yeah, this is antithetical to everything we are as a country. Don't watch it.
So, tickets for sale on MLB.com, meaning no one will go.
Yeah.
Let
has
us.
Virginia Tech not been through enough this year?
saying.
Let's move ahead to Clemson versus Iowa State in a game that, at the buzzer, became watchable and celebratable for all good Americans, I think. Because
when
Cheez-It
you hear
Bowl
people
is,
talk about the beautiful game, this is what they mean.
Because not only do we have Dabo forced to endure something called the Cheez-It Bowl, this game is hilarious, man. These teams started the year top 10, and they're in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Like yeah,
this would have been a fairly reasonable playoff pick by a lot of people. And now they're in a bowl it's one of the ACC's and Big 12's best bowls, and it used to have a less funny name, but now it has the name Cheez-It Bowl, which is the same name that was the name of the TCU-Cal game. And they both have to be here.
They have a lot to live up to, is what I'm hearing. That Clemson and Iowa State. What is the over-under on this game? I would like to know, because they need to come way under. They need to hit the hemi under. They need to make this. And by the way, both of these teams more than capable of doing that, right?
Yeah, it's a. It is not a generous total. We're in the lower 40s.
Lower 40s? Take it down, baby. We got to simmer down. Simmer down. Let's take this to the 30s.
It looks like.
Hammer the under.
Yeah, SB Plus is calling for about 48, but yeah.
I'd like to bring up something that we have avoided celebrating up to this point, because Cheez-It is a Kellogg's product, and up till about 6 hours ago, Kellogg's workers were on strike. Kellogg's workers have approved a contract, so we can now mention this discussion that Spencer and I have been having offline for like 5 weeks. There is a miracle happening right in front of our eyes during commercial breaks this college football season, and I don't quite know how it got there. But I would like us to discuss this phenomenon, but I can't, because I can't ever really remember anything like it. I have never seen, and Spencer agrees, I know, so Cerber, Jason, I would love to get your thoughts. I have never seen the commercial air with such frequency as the "I woke up feeling the cheesiest coach" Cheez-It ad that I don't hate. I don't know if it's because it is relatively short. I don't know if it's because it doesn't contain a song. I don't know if it is the frankly angelic line reading on the part of the Wheel of Cheese that is vibrating as it screams that it woke up feeling the cheesiest. This ad does not annoy me in the slightest, and I have seen it 37 times a day for the past 15 weeks. Discuss.
Yeah. On the list of ads that have annoyed me this year, it's definitely not on them, and it is interesting, because I do feel like I've seen it many times, but it's more washed over me than required my active participation. I'm finding myself tiring very rapidly of Kate McKinnon, of her horror movie performance, and whichever phone she's trying to sell me. There are numerous ads that have really worn on me, but the Wheel of Cheese, yeah, I think you're onto something. I think the interesting thing is, I haven't even noticed how little I've noticed it. It's
neither did we until about halfway through the season, but it was in the middle of the Kellogg strike, so we didn't want to say anything nice about them.
Yeah,
can anyone here prove to me that this ad hasn't been running for 6 years?
No, I couldn't.
I'm trying to figure out if it's new or if it's just...
I don't think it's like...
Is it like a caveman Geico ad? There.
It's like the landscape. But like, we know... That's the thing. I don't think we could say for sure, because we know when the Geico ads and the Applebee's ads and the get up ads dropped, because before they drew us into the loving embrace of Stockholm Syndrome, they were incredibly annoying. But this is like part of the landscape. It's like you look over and you're like, oh, when did that 200-year-old tree get there? It's always been there.
I have not enjoyed an ad like this.
In some sense, we have always woke up feeling the cheesiest, coach.
Yeah, I have.
I don't like love the commercial. I think that one line reading is fine. I don't have any. I guess what I'm trying to say is I am shocked that I have no negative things to say about this ad that has been absolutely blanketed across our particular section of the airwaves this season.
I haven't enjoyed an ad this consistently since 300 likes singing Summertime Love. as the boy band that doesn't move. I sometimes listen to that, like, even
what?
Now.
What?
Yeah.
Like, it's on Spotify?
I don't see a reason not to. It was good from the very first time I heard it, quite frankly.
Jason and I have been diametrically opposed on the subject of this particular ad since it came out.
The very first time it dropped, I was like, man, people are going to be sick of this shit. You might as well get on board right this instant. And what happened by the end of the year?
Get up, summertime, get up.
I don't know if there's been an ad this year that I'm like, oh shit, hell yeah, I'm going to watch this. Like, I don't know if there's one that I actually like this year. I like the sad snowman one. Every time the girl who protects the snowman comes on, I'm like, fuck, I'm going to watch this and feel some feelings and then forget what it's advertising. I don't know what they're selling me, but like, it's a very well done little film, whatever it is.
There is one that I actually love, and it's the Taco Bell LARPers in the subway, where the girl hears the gong and abandons the dude for Taco Bell.
The one where the dude are on the beach, and she is about to kiss the guy and hears the Taco Bell and leaves her lover, her potential lover, for the embrace of...
Her summertime lover.
Yeah.
There's also Lil Nas X narrates a few Taco Bell commercials, and the commercials have... They have transformed my addiction. I have always called it Taco Bell, but in all these commercials, he calls it Taco Bell. And the emphasis on taco, it's starting to rewire part of my brain. But the one...
I did not notice that.
Yeah, listen, he's like emphasizes Taco Bell, like as if he's trying to remind you what it is they sell. Yeah, everyone calls it Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's
canon. Yeah, but there's one where he makes the argument throughout that you should just go ahead and go to bed now so you can wake up and eat Taco Bell breakfast. And I'm like, this is the first advertisement I've ever seen that I'm like, I actively, consciously agree with this messaging and might just put it into practice right this very instant. Good night. Thank you, Lil Nas X, for your wisdom. Holly is brandishing a Taco Bell cup right now.
The system works.
I think that's a clear sign of depression. I think you can use that as a diagnostic.
No way. I'm excited to wake up in the morning. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
This means fuck you.
Every day is a new day, and I welcome the dawning of a world in which I can eat Taco Bell breakfast.
You're just sitting there and the doctor's going, listen, you're clearly depressed out of your gourd, and you're like, no, for real, I really am just excited about eating Taco Bell's breakfast.
You're the one who just talked about voluntary queuing up the get up, get up, get up song, and you think Jason's clinically depressed?
I could get Mountain Dew Rise on tap with my Taco Bell breakfast. I need the mental boost.
Man, there I am laying it. It's 11:30, and it's like, oh, I could look at the internet some more, or I could just go ahead and fall asleep. And you know what's waiting there on the other side? As Lil Nas X promised, the premium potato products of Taco Bell breakfast. I'll tell you what, man. Nobody in fast food does a potato product like Taco Bell. The beef, I don't know what's in it. The chicken, it's dicey. The potatoes, yeah, man, they're worth waking up for in the morning. If nothing else carries you through the night, let it be Taco Bell. The dawn on the other side. The star in the heavens guiding you to Bethlehem is the potato thing at Taco Bell.
Your bridge over troubled water is Taco Bell.
Your bridge over troubled Mountain Dew.
And like a bridge over troubled waters, Taco Bell will lay you down.
It'll lay you down. You're like, oh God, I'm so full of Taco Bell. I'm accomplishing nothing today. And then you're like, oh, I just laid around all day. I didn't do anything, and I don't even know if I'm tired. But I better go to sleep, because what awaits in the morning, what awaits in the dawn, when every new day made new, it is the Taco Bell breakfast. This is your entire life now. I don't see what's sad about this.
I love
that. I think that was a great Clemson football preview. I enjoyed it very much. That's
actually, I think we're
Clemson.
More than halfway through the Valero Alamo Bowl preview.
I'm sorry.
Between Oregon
that was
and
the
Oklahoma.
Most I've enjoyed talking about Oklahoma football all year.
In my head, I'm just seeing Albert Camus in the midst of winter. I felt there was within me an invincible summer. And Jason Kirk, a good wind comes so I can eat Taco Bell breakfast.
It'll be okay, buddy. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go to sleep.
I found my invincible fourth meal.
we're just going to go to sleep.
I'm going to puke laughing about this.
We're going to wait. We're going to go to sleep, and we're going to wait, and we're going to wait. And then in that dark night of the soul, when all is lost, darkest before the dawn, what do we hear? Bong.
Bong. I'm not hating on it. I'm just going to laugh about it. By the way, in the Alamo Bowl, if I told you before the season that both of these programs would have lost their coaches. Both of them just gone, man.
And not just lost their coaches, because if you say that, it's like, whoa, goddamn, what did Cristobal do to get fired? Oh, shit, did Lincoln Riley take an NFL job? They lost their program to, like, on paper peers. And like on
I don't
paper,
know if Miami's
Cristobal took Cristobal took a step down in terms of what they have accomplished this millennium in on the football field. Okay, 2001 is part of this millennium. I get it, but like, shit, man, they lost their coaches in some weird ass ways.
I also have an end of the year update on the ongoing argument between everyone in media over how you pronounce Mario Cristobal's last name and where you put the accent. And I know it's been a discussion of some of ours as well. Apparently, and I have consulted Miamians of Cuban extraction who have explained this to me, because everywhere that I had seen this name written before I met Mario, the accent was over the O, right? But apparently, the way it was boiled down for my dumb gringo brain was that the way that you anglicize that spelling in English, it would sound weird to pronounce it the way it is supposed to be pronounced in Spanish. So when I was asking these guys to, like, okay, how do you, like, these are, I was talking to some Miami people, university, not city. And I was like, so, okay, you know, like, how do you, so it can be pronounced a number of different ways. And they were like, yeah, it's like person to person. It's like Michaela. You're never going to know which version is out. So for everyone who yelled at us when we said Cristobal, and for everyone who yelled at us when we said Cristobal, we're sorry, man. We're trying our best.
So this is this sort of one where they're like, listen, white people, just do what you can. Like,
we're not trying to be cool. We're not trying to secure cookout passes. We're just trying to die non-problematic whites.
Sure, yeah.
That's it.
Cristobal. I'm going this week with Cristobal. Mario Cristobal.
Really, what you have to do is get Mario to say it, but of course, there's not a graceful way to do that. So,
yeah.
Hey, Mario, it's been
Coach. Can you
years.
Speak
How
in third person?
Name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would mean so. At the beginning of the year, if I said alternate universe Oregon coached by Dan Lanning versus Oklahoma coached by Brent Venables, yeah.
Yeah, we are now more than a minute into our preview of the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Oh, baby, we're sorry for shorting you, Mayo Bowl.
We'll give it some of the last bowls time. North Carolina versus South Carolina. Two programs that did not expect to see themselves. Two programs that did not expect to see themselves in the Mayo Bowl for very different reasons. UNC, of course, started preseason number 10. South Carolina did not. To say the least. South Carolina was not supposed to be in any bowl. UNC was supposed to be in, oh gosh, the New Year's Six bowls? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, LSU is last in the West, and we are thinking fondly back on all the fun South Carolina football brought us this year.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That is completely accurate and yet shattering to the foundations of almost everything I believe. Yeah, South Carolina has some of the funniest victories this year of any team in football, and I say that with all due affection, because South Carolina beat Auburn, which is always funny, 21-17. They beat the shit out of Florida. a derelict, smoking, cratered Florida 40-17. Don't tell them that. They still enjoyed the hell out of it. They beat Vandy 21-20. It's a dub. Count it, baby.
Can I run through? So, looking at their win expectancies based on SP Plus, like,
you know,
if you beat the shit out of someone, it's 100%. You get absolutely obliterated, 0%. South Carolina's might be the most "what you see is what you get" of all. It's like, mm-hmm. Win 100%, win 74%, loss 0%, lost 10%. Like every single 90%, 1%, 90%, 0, 100, 2, 69, 0. Every single game is exactly what you see is what you get. This is the most truthful team in America. Like even the close games, the stats are like, no, it wasn't close. One team crushed the other.
There's a beauty to that. There's a brutal beauty in this elegant simplicity.
Yeah,
just straightforward.
Every South Carolina game,
I'm not being sarcastic. It's great.
this is like the old opposite of like Tulsa, where it's like, I don't know if this team played well or not. South Carolina's like, they definitely played like crap, or they definitely made the other guys play like crap. There is no in between.
Yeah, they are the perfect jobber wrestler, right? What do you need to be this match? Obviously beatable. What do you need to be? The heavy, right? Like, if they need somebody to wrestle Doink the Clown, this is the team that got to do this it,
is,
right?
Like, yeah, South Carolina is the guy you bring in, like, okay, you're going to destroy Doink so that when our local champion destroys you, he looks really tough. That's South Carolina.
And they, but they've got, you know, there's also some heart there. It's not just a cardboard cutout, because here is Shane Beamer with his ever-increasing number of children congratulating him after the game, all of whom are adorable and look like the little kids in The Rescuers or some shit.
They do. They are adorable.
The Rescuers are just mice.
Mice.
Cool. Okay, they look like the mice in The Rescuers, but like in the most adorable child way possible. I'm not calling his children rodents.
Disney anthropomorphic is totally acceptable to call somebody. Anime anthropomorphic is not, right?
Like, Shane Beamer has the cutest family I've ever seen. It looks like cartoon bluebirds do their hair in the morning.
Yeah, this is also the bowl game where somebody really might get mayonnaise dumped on them, and I am hoping UNC wins this, because in all of my interactions with Shane Beamer, and one of the few coaches I've actually interacted with this season, because we interviewed him on Thinking Out Loud. He's a great interview. He'd be a person who I expect would take a mayo bath with great equanimity and good humor.
He would take it like
humor.
A champ, and that's why we want Mac to do it.
This is exactly why we want Mac Brown to do
Mac
it.
Mac would hate it.
Because Mac, head of the game, he has said he will be okay with it. I assure you, listener, there is no way in fucking hell Mac Brown is okay with this. He is not. He is a petty, vain man
who is
going
Nana.
To be like, I can't believe you covered me in this bullshit. I'm so mad vain. Right now.
He is vain like your grandma had good scissors, right?
He's he's gonna look like the angriest wet hen.
When you got candle wax on the good doilies at Christmas, that is Mac Brown covered in mayonnaise.
So Mac Brown is the couch that has plastic wrap on it.
Yes. And that's actually what his complexion looks like. It is vinyl stretched over brocade.
He is so not gonna want to take this well. He's gonna
don't mayonnaise me. I'm beautiful. I'm antique.
I smell so bad right now, you bastards.
You're ruining my wood grain.
It's in my pores.
It's in my pores. I'm never going to get this out of my Versace.
My Versace puffy coat.
I smell my like Versace country fish now.
My Versace Jumpman puffy coat.
Goddamn you, mayo bowl. Goddamn you.
I'm going to smell like a tuna fish sandwich until March.
It's only Hellman's for me in this household, you sons of bitches.
Perfect result in this game would be this. UNC wins at buzzer on sketchy play. Mac Brown is doused with 30 gallons of high-grade Duke's mayonnaise. He looks madder than a wet hen, but still gamely tries to celebrate through it while failing to maintain the illusion of having a good-natured soul. And then the review kicks in and UNC loses, and Mac Brown... They have to call both teams off the field. Mac Brown is covered in mayo. Miserable, fuming, visibly vermilion with rage, and yet still covered with fucking mayo.
It's smelling awful. It's so angry that...
And then he does the post-game handshake.
Openly trying to just wipe himself.
Handshake, and Shane Beamer is able to escape with his life force because Mac is what now that he's covered in mayonnaise? Slippery!
Yeah. But I think Beamer is also doused, but he's fine with it because he won. He won, and he's here to embrace the fun of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, whereas Mac is just going to sit there in a little pile and just be all pissed off with mayo sizzling on his little forehead, his little haircut all ruined, his little Nike Jordans all ruined.
Steaming!
They told me I had to wear these shoes to impress the high school football players, but now they've got mayonnaise all in them. It's all in my crevices, and I have very many because I am aged and wrinkled to more than you know.
He's just going to retire.
Right then and there.
Brothers and sisters at home, we ask a lot of you spiritually. if you believe in goodness, if you believe in right, if you believe in making Mac Brown as mad as he deserves to be, because he is above all things an enormous bitch, please help us in manifesting this happening into the world.
Mayo-nifesting.
Thank you. I was trying to get there. Thank you. Please help us in birthing Spencer's grand vision into the world. Just slather that birth canal with delicious, high-quality, premium Duke's mayonnaise and let this end of the game just scoot on out, squalling into the universe.
Make Mac slimy for no reason.
2005, Mac Brown is in Texas Orange sitting on the 72nd story of the tallest building in Austin in the penthouse he only used for recruiting with the national title ring on his finger. 2022, he retires covered in mayonnaise, still stinking of egg. I hate the sport and everything.
I gotta get on a fucking flight.
I didn't even lose to Prime Beamer. I lost to Beamer number two.
I lost to a little Beamer.
I lost to a Beamerette. Folks, if you find yourselves in the front row or even on the sidelines of this Mayo Bowl, also, we cannot encourage you strongly enough to bring a squeezy bottle of Duke's mayonnaise into the stadium, or even some of those little packets, if you can grab them from concessions, they twist off, and just pelt Mac with them in glorious celebration upon UNC's assured, albeit momentary, victory.
Speaking of fans who lob condiments onto the field, the Music City Bowl between Purdue and Tennessee is our final game for this episode.
That was the best transition you've ever done, Jason. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm in awe. We should just end the show right there.